Good afternoon. This is Byron Nelson, and we're doing our daily report on the COVID-19. This I'd like to read a statement from the radio station here, because we're trying to manage the people that call in. We are we're trying to get ready here. Everybody's really busy and having a lot of meetings and everything. So bear with us. We're really relying on a lot of your calls as far as, your suggestions on how to help out. We can't think of everything. And really, a lot of the good information comes from the public as far as what they see out there and what they might recommend or changes in the way we're doing things. So we're going to try to manage it, the calls, so that everyone gets a chance. I'm going to go ahead and read this. This is an hour-long call-in program. So to ensure that everyone has a chance to comment and ask questions of the show guests, callers may ask no more than 3 questions during their call. If you ask a question, then do a follow-up question. That counts as your next question. Prepare your questions ahead of time and be ready to ask them when your call is answered by the host. That's me. In the interest of time, please pose your questions at the beginning of your call. Then hang up and take the answer on the air. Please limit your comments to the issues being discussed on the program. You may call back later in the program. However, in the interest of fairness and in order for everyone to access to this program, please limit yourself to 3 calls per show. So please try to follow that so that we can get as many callers in on this program today and following days. We have 3 people here today. We have Poppy George, the deputy IC, and Allie Hosler. What is your title, Allie?
Operations Section Chief.
Okay. And we have Bobby Kane, the Chief of Police here too. And I'm not sure if Greg Moon is going to be able to make it. He's certainly a busy man. So anyway, let's start off with, let me explain something that one caller had called in yesterday and said, why wasn't I answering the questions? Don't I know what I'm doing or something to that effect? That's not the way this is set up. I'm the facilitator, and we've hired these people to do the daily tasks that need to be carried out. And in most cases, I don't even know where they are until we have this program, because things change overnight. So I'm not, I'm the agency administrator and chairman, basically over it. I'm over everything, so I am the facilitator, and I don't necessarily know all the things that these people are working on. So keep that in mind, okay? Let's start out then with Poppy. You want to give your report?
Yeah, thank you for inviting me over today. I'm sure there's 1,000 questions out there, but I appreciate you saying the facts that you are not engaged in daily operations, because that delegation was handed over to Greg and the rest of the team. And I appreciate council being respectful of that and allowing us to control the situation and put mitigation measures in place to move forward and leave politics out of this operation. So today I'm not here based on politics, and I don't want to be a part of political rhetoric. So stick to the questions regarding COVID and the IC team, what we have in place, the operations that we have going on. Sorry, I'm out of breath. I just ran from a meeting at Kamau with really, really important information that I have to get out there in the field and order teams and staff and things that are needed. And so we have a lot going on. Allie has been assisting me day and night. And I'm going to allow her to give you information for her section. Although all of our team is responsible for their operations on a daily, and they report back to me in the briefing, I am there to assist throughout the day in any hurdles or struggles that they may come across. Every morning we have a morning briefing, and we check in, and every day we go over our incident action plan, and everybody's lined out in their duties and responsibilities. Everybody has been made aware that, I'm kind of high strung when it comes to getting things done. I believe Allie's the same way, and I apologize for that, but that's just who I am and how I am. I am fast paced and I like things done in a timely manner. My team knows if you can't produce, then you're off the team. So we have been moving rapidly, moving forward in creating procedures and policies to mitigate the situation. And I know we had a meeting with council the other day, and you guys have been fully supportive in staying in your positions and your role and supporting the team when we need direction to the outside governments and agencies that may be slowing down process. Although you guys have had to step in a few times, outside agencies have been cooperative and assisting at 100%. So thank you for that. I really would like to, open the door for questions today, because I know there's probably a lot of them out there. I have a lot of stuff in my head, and if there's things people want to know, I know there was an incident. I'm in a meeting over at Kamau, meeting with the doctors in charge at the time, and the staff and planning. Chief Kane just came from there. We're all coming from different directions, and so numbers come in to us, come through IC, and so what was posted today, because of yesterday's confusion about the total cases in the valley, total cases that Kamau has come across, that was creating confusion with people running around yesterday saying, okay, there's 30 cases, what are we going to do? Well, there wasn't 30 cases in the valley. So that number was left off, and that was my decision, but I guess it created more confusion for those who can do math, and those who couldn't, did understand it. So the total cases that this valley has come across is 33. The active cases as of today is 24, and the recovered is 9. So how you do that is you move your active into recovery, and then you add to the active from the new day's report. So, that has created some confusion. Can't help you with that, but the facts are there. The active cases are published.
So there are 24.
Yes.
So what we are doing now is highlighting the total active cases in red on the public announcement, because that's the number people are most concerned with, is how many active cases are there. So that will now be in red.
Thank you. So my other important message here today, and I've been trying to think about how to deliver this message, because I'm a community member and I'm concerned. And I'm concerned about the movement that's happening in the valley. And not movement by people who have to go to appointments or have things that they're obligated to do. Movement by those people who have tested positive or are supposed to be in quarantine. Now that is happening actively, and we know that for a fact because we follow these cases, we follow situations, and with the help of the community, we've had a number of people being reported, and especially moving through the night. And so because of that, we're having to take additional measures to beef up our security and look at additional operations that we may have to do here at the Valley. And that means that people who are staying home and complying are going to be punished because of those who do not want to comply. So I strongly encourage anybody who's out there, who knows somebody that is in quarantine, that you advise them, please stay to your own household. This is really critical in stopping the spread of this virus, and nobody in the world would be able to stop it if we just kept moving as life was going on normally, and that's not the situation.
Okay, yesterday, me and a few council members and That's the biggest, one of the biggest problems that we have is just what you mentioned there. And we worked all day yesterday calling Dr. Franken
Frankovich,
spoke with her at length, spoke with Judge Colgrove, the tribal court, and Marilyn Powell, who's assigned to the tracing. And I think we did come up with something here, so who wants to report on that? Did you want, Bobby, did you have an understanding of how that tracking is going to happen now as far as with the county assistance?
Yeah, I wasn't given that information, but from a law enforcement standpoint, what we are doing is we were, you know, there was some productivity this morning with obtaining names, a better line of communication, and getting that to the officers so they are actively out there, you know, in the know and know who has it, so they can be on the lookout. You know, of course, we do get those rumors of people being out and about. We still respond, but we need that confirmation, and you know, having that information, you know, would eliminate that response of, you know, who has it and who doesn't, and we're responding to someone that doesn't have it, you know, who through the rumor mill does have it. So we're trying to eliminate that, which we are doing. We're making progress on that. But as far as the court goes, I haven't been informed of that. You know, I would encourage you, counsel, and the court to, you know, take it, you know, enforce those, you know, extreme penalties, such as exclusion if you have to, because these individuals who are positive and out and about in the community, they're a threat. And, you know, we can't have them out there, you know, infecting other people. For the people that are, like, you know, Poppy had said, are staying home and abiding by it. Mm-hmm. But there are those individuals who are not. So hopefully we can seek out that maximum penalty for those individuals.
Okay, we have one caller. I'll go ahead and take that caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. Yesterday, Dr. Josh Enos, he's the Humboldt County Deputy Health Officer, stated that the positive cases are only a minority of actual active spreading through the communities, and noted the importance of the dozen other active cases that are going unidentified.
Go ahead. Poppy, did you have some?
Well, go ahead and let her finish. And
yeah. Go ahead and finish.
Well, what steps are we taking to seek out those individuals? Because both the CDC and the World Health Organization suggest that you're using volunteers to ensure that you're actively seeking out the people that aren't coming forward.
So that's another message that I have today. You know, and this stuff has been running through my head because sometimes it makes me really angry. And so I just hold off and bite my tongue, but I'm not going to bite my tongue today. So we have a lot of situations out there. We have situations where families do refuse to come in and be tested, even though they know that they have been exposed, and that's their choice by law. And so we have to follow HIPAA. And people have a right to privacy. There are those people who are notified that they have been exposed to a positive individual and have refused to show up to date to get a test done. There are those people who have been tested and are not following quarantine orders. There are situations out there that only the community can control, because these are individual decisions being made by individuals and families. And so we have a situation where, you know, two women are together in a house and they're both positive, and you got the boyfriend coming in and going, and he's mingling in our community. So situations are putting us at risk, and they're not allowing the doctors and the COVID tracers to notify the people who have been in contact and control that situation, because the continuation of the spread is occurring as we speak. And now there is no miracle and there is no God to this disease. It's a pandemic. None of us have lived through a pandemic in our lifetime. Okay, so there are people
out
there.
Would you agree that daily contact with these kinds of situations would influence their behavior?
Some of them choose not to be contacted. and that is the law, that we cannot violate their privacy. So doctors are in a situation and they can only control it to a certain extent. They when the patient comes in to come out and is tested, we have several outlets for them to go through. We have resources, we have medical phone lines, we have emergency phone lines that can transport them. You know, there are additional services out there in every angle that we're looking at to help them get through this. But if they don't want those services, there's nothing we can do.
Community help push those services for individuals that they we do see out in the community, and we do know that that's the situation, and maybe they are refusing. So how can the community, like, say, hey, did you call those people today?
Okay, Greg, did you say you wanted to respond to that? Or?
Yes, I would. So the public, when they're out, when we're out around each other, we are, it's a necessity that we make sure that we have our mask on, that we're cleaning our hands, and that we're maintaining social distancing. That's what this whole, that's our only real defense when it comes to getting the disease. And so when we talk about people out in the community that maybe don't want to adhere to that stuff, sure, we can pass laws and everything to ordinances to fine them and to keep them separated. But really, if you want to keep yourself and your family safe, to practice those simple things that we've that the CDC has said makes you reduce the risk for contracting the virus: washing your hands, wearing a mask, and staying 6 feet away from each other.
All right, that was three questions. Yeah. So I want to thank the caller for calling.
Thank you for calling in. We have another caller. Go ahead, caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. So Humboldt County's numbers are climbing. Doctors and clinics are pleading with people to stop gathering because they cannot regulate their behaviors. As a sovereign nation, you can regulate the expected behaviors. Why are we following Humboldt County? When they are failing to keep numbers down.
Who wanted to answer that one? I can probably delve into that one a little bit. That's a kind of a dilemma that we're in with the jurisdictional thing that's popping up again as far as the Public Law 280. But I agree with you. We're a sovereign nation. And as you know, when this thing started, I tried to put signs up keeping people from coming on the reservation, and it turned into a political thing, and the signs are thrown over the hill. So, anyway, that caller's off the air there. So, anyway, Bobby, did you kind of want to touch on that one as far as the jurisdictional thing and how we should break through that?
Right. So, with the, people not social distancing, I think the caller is right in an aspect. We do have the ability to enact an order or policy. It could be amended to Title 72. It's kind of in there now as far as social distancing. It could specifically be a separate violation under Title 72. So it's just kind of putting that in place, proposing that to, council, having council agree upon that, and having that amended. So unfortunately, it wouldn't be a not necessarily a crime, but it would more so be a civil regulatory crime under the tribe's title code. We couldn't take someone to jail over it until the state or county, started would put something out for law enforcement to enforce, and then it would be up to a deputized tribal police officer or local deputy sheriff to enforce that. But we could, make an amendment to this Title 72 as far as social gatherings and the social distancing. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things I'd like to add, just for the public, is that, you know, the team that we're working with right now, the incident management team, we're establishing protocols for how we do business and to meet objectives that are really guided by your questions here, the tribal council, and all that input. We use that to make our objectives so that we meet those. So when we go to, and that all falls within the policy and the laws of the tribe. And so we can't go outside of those. And so I would just, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I caution the public because if you're going to take away people's rights to move around freely, then you're really walking on really fragile ground. And so we need to think about, you know, what about when it's my family or it's me? How am I going to want to be treated? Am I going to want to be, made to be isolated? Or can we follow these CDC guidelines and expect to have some level of safety? And I think that's where the nation is as a whole. They're making decisions on walking that edge, and that's the tough decisions that the tribal council is dealing with, and we're following as a team.
Yeah, we have another caller. I'll go ahead and take that caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, it's just a two-part. Who's collecting the data for the outbreaks, and can the team share that data with the community?
Who wants to answer that question?
What particular data are you talking about? The COVID results, or is there anything?
Well, how many tests are you doing? How many are coming back negative? How many are coming back positive? What our bell curve looks like here in the valley?
So we've been on the team for, I guess at 1 o'clock it'll be a week, and we've been compiling data in the daily reports, and we're trying to get additional assistance here. So, you know, there's a number of reasons why, but I had hoped to start compiling that data in form of graphs and charts that will explain all that. In the daily number data reports that come out on our website and in media, we don't add in a lot of the testing data, but I can tell you there's about 15 to 20 tests happening per day at Comal.
Up to 30. We can handle up to 30.
And up to 30. And that...
Well, like today, the result, it shows that there was no test done, and I think it would just help bring down some of the fear in the community if we were like, oh, 20 tests were done, but they all came back negative. So just a suggestion.
Well, so the turnaround time isn't the same day. So, you know, if we compared that data, if you say, oh, there's X amount of tests done today, that doesn't line up with the results from that day. Those aren't instant results. So the turnaround time for the reliable test is 72 hours.
Well, right. So, there's four different ways that a negative test can come out. One is it's too early. One, it's too late. One, the test wasn't done correctly. Or two, or four, the test wasn't
right.
Shipped right.
So I wanted to go back to another question that I think will help answer this. So the 12 tests that the county's referring to may have been taken elsewhere in the county, and the resident may be here. But I also wanted to let the public know that the test results we're providing are from Comal only. So they don't necessarily live here. Comal has a wide service area that is in the area. So we're only reporting Comal centers. We're not reporting
100%. Right, that was a question from yesterday.
Okay. And then... the data question, I really hope that we can start, once we get some help in, we can start maintaining data sets like that for research.
Let me comment on that. So
within the plan.
Yeah,
so that's all the suggestion was, to hopefully see some of that in the future.
Thank you.
That's all. Walk well.
This is Poppy. So to add to that, currently we are just starting to, the IC team is just starting to receive demographics. So prior to yesterday, we did not have that information available. But with the new team established, we are bridging this gap between the two teams and creating that line of authority of who has access to that information. And so Chief Kane was there with us today, and we have clarified that line of authority. And now we have a system in place where that information can be secretly and protected and transferred to us, so it's not on a phone system, and we have a safety officer who will pick that sealed information up and deliver it to us. So if that's information that the community wants to see, which is something I would want to see too, we can add that to our daily updates. But at this time, we've only been getting, I've been getting messaged along with Greg, the data as it comes in from Humboldt County to Eva to us specifically, and then we release it.
Well, there's other, say, figures that maybe could be developed to help people understand. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is the real percentage compared to the population here in the Valley, and then comparing that with other communities to see where we're actually at as far as the numbers compared to other communities. I'd like to see that figure.
That's where we need an epidemiologist, a person who does statistics, so that they can provide those and so that they can be accurate. And now, after our meeting with Kamau this morning, it was a very productive and busy meeting. But I believe that we have clarified those lines of communication, and we should start receiving clarified data sets, because sometimes we'll get data sets that have some, that include that information, and then sometimes we don't. So we've just decided to go with what we can be consistent with. So now, after the productive meeting this morning, I believe we'll have consistent, you know, and at some point we'll be able to produce that in a form that the public can view, like as the county's dashboard.
We are also, well, as soon as I get off this call, I'm going back to make contact with IHS, and we are reaching out for additional staff. So Kamau has requested a need for additional services, and so I will put in that order immediately once I get out of here. I'm waiting for the job descriptions to come over so we can beef up our system. So, I mean, it's at that point where people are getting tired, and we don't want to burn people out to the point where, you know, we're producing wrong numbers. But we're able to test up to 30 community members right now, but we need to start mass testing, like Kamau has said before, which we're gearing up to provide, bring those services in.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's, I'm sure I gave this direction before, and if there's any people you need to be added on, please do that. You can hire other people. We basically get in reimbursed for that, so there isn't any limit to how many people we can go out and reach in and bring into our effort here. So, but I'm telling you right now that I've got, last week I took it on myself to appoint you two and some others, and through actually an executive decision that I made. And I had two council members come in yesterday and really made it a ridiculed me for stepping out over my authority, and said that I should have council meetings and have those things approved in the council meetings. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. And I'm taking, if I'm going to catch, you know, whatever for doing this and making these decisions, trying to keep ahead of this, I'm going to do it. And maybe those two that I'm talking about, they can come into these meetings. They haven't been in the meetings for weeks and weeks. So
I think we both want to comment on that, because, you know, we got thrown into a position where we're we're responsible for saving lives here.
Right.
And that's a lot to have on your shoulders.
That's right.
And so the reason why I'm looking outside along with Greg and really strategizing here with the situation that Allie and all of us are in, looking at the not just today, but tomorrow and the week after, and the scenarios that we could potentially approach. And so we need to plan to have professional people assisting in these positions. We do not have time for political rhetoric and BS, okay? This is life and death here, and darn if I want somebody to be in control of a situation that cannot create structure and make people do their job, okay? Because I'm not trying to get elected, and I'm not running for office, so I don't care what people have to say about that. My job is to create structure. And those people who don't want to follow structure are out. And the people that I bring in to assist and eventually take over this team, they are going to be professionals because that's what we need here.
Good. Okay, we have another caller. I'll go with the caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. So the behavioral specialist should also have training in data analysis. Have you asked behavioral health specialists on staff?
Yes, behavioral health participated in our meeting this morning, and they are short-staffed for a variety of reasons right now, but we're hoping to get at least one or two behavioral health people over at the incident management team by Monday. We have another meeting with behavioral health this afternoon at 4 in hopes of helping us navigate our and care for our community members who may have substance abuse and addiction issues. That's a big part of this. It's a big challenge in this. And we are doing our best. And part of what I wanted to get in before I have to leave is that really there are enforcement mechanisms. There's delegations of authority. There's resources and services that we can provide as a team. But what's going to be most effective are our family members and friends and loved ones encouraging those who may not want to go get tested or who may not want to quarantine. This is the time. Now's the time to urge your friends and family members who are likely to avoid testing to get tested. That's what's going to save our community, and it's boots on the ground, it's family members and friends who are going to be able to reach them and actually convince them to go get tested. So I really want to say that we're doing all of this. You know, today we're reaching out to IHS to get an additional Abbott rapid testing machine because the one we have can only do one test every 30 minutes. And so we're reaching out to get all these support systems in place from IHS, additional. Kamau's very short staffed too right now. So, you know, they're overextended, we're overextended. We all stepped into this role not to let the community down, but to help the community.
Right.
So we really, really want to stress that we're in this together, and it's, you know, we're going to get through it together.
In addition to that, we
go ahead. For behavior?
We see, this is the thing, we have very limited time. We need to advertise for a variety of different things, but do we have a week or two to wait for advertising? Maybe if I don't, this is just an idea that I should probably discuss first, but if there's a list of available employees that are either furloughed or out, you know, that would be excellent for us to have, because we're racking our brains like, who can do this, who can do this, who can do this.
We do have immediate positions that we need filled and assistance with. As we work through the paperwork of bringing in FEMA assistance, IHS assistance, and these teams are being geared up to come here, you know, we it's a fear of mine to bring community members out to deal with situations like trash, okay? COVID trash. Who wants to raise their hand? And that's what I asked my team. Who here wants to raise your hand today to go deal with COVID trash? Do you feel comfortable doing that, you know? Of course they don't. Nobody does. Everybody's a little scared. Okay, so is it fair to make our tribal members go out there and deal with the trash and some not have to deal with the trash? Well, there may be community members that will raise their hand, and that's been brought to my attention. Maybe there's people out there. Okay, so we'll put that on our site and publish that. Are there people out there who want to come forward, get the training, and come out and help us deal with the situation, or is it fully a FEMA situation? You know, and I'm all about, my job is to eliminate.
Sorry, I'm not talking about the trash, but I'm talking about behaviorists. Doesn't the school have behaviorists that you guys can hire?
We have our behavioral health team that came on today, but we're going to meet later today and figure out how they can fit into this equation, because they're currently working under Kamau, but we have a more immediate need because this is becoming a police situation.
Okay.
So you don't need behavior.
We have them.
Okay, caller, you had your three questions. Thank you for calling. All right. Well, we just have to push on. And really, there are obstacles that normally you would have to take into consideration, but time is of the essence.
Right, and let me put a warning out there before the show ends. So we have PRCAP coming Friday, and you all need to maintain your distance because Abe's going to be up there, Chief. Kane's going to be out there, and we're limited with staff because the tribe is shut down, and many of these tribal departments have people in their departments that have either tested positive or a lot of them are in quarantine. So we cannot pull people out with the situation we have right now because we can create a greater risk. So we're pulling resources in, but you guys need to cooperate and make sure there's no more than six people, even four people in the post office at one time.
Yeah, there's one thing that I had failed to mention. Yesterday, the council decided to, the ones that were there, decided to shut down the office for Thursday and Friday, but yet we have dedicated people that come in anyway. They're upstairs working on the per capita payment ordinance, that assistance payment that's going out on the 14th. So we have people that are going up and beyond what's expected of them. And then there's others that want to just work the 8 to 5, and that's what they do. And that's disturbing to me with some people. Anyway, I don't want to get into that, but anyway, the offices over there are closed, except I'm going to be there. I'll be there, but finance upstairs will be processing those checks so they can get them out on time.
And let me just express on the behavioral health portion, I want you to understand that we are recognizing, and Boyd is recognizing, that this is creating a lot of anxiety for people, especially people with addiction problems or just natural anxieties that they have. And so we are gearing up to see if there are additional resources. There is a call-in number that is established over there. They're doing telepsych. They're continuing with their services. But we feel there's going to be additional services needed as we work with these clients who are testing positive and are in quarantine but still need their drugs to be able to stay isolated.
Okay. One of the other things that I wanted to squeeze in is that one of the immediate needs that we have to begin work on immediately is building a contact tracing team. Right now we have one contact tracer and possibly two that are working out of Humboldt County, but we can assemble our own contact tracing team. So we are actually asking for folks who are willing and have the ability to take a two-day contact tracing class to step forward to, because we want to get a team of community members to become contact tracers.
So what number would they call to if they want to go to work and do that?
They can call the hotline at 625-8100.
Okay. Okay, we have another caller. I'll go ahead and take that caller. I'll go ahead and the other call that was on. Which call did I take?
One.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. Allie was kind of just talking about what it was I was going to ask or in the direction I was going. I asked about volunteers last week, I think it was, and to help assist with that contact tracing. And I know the CDC recommends putting together a team of volunteers for that. And I know I don't expect an answer right now. I just want you guys to think about, you know, the guidelines that are out there and the suggestions that they're making and why they're making those. And so volunteers are not a bad thing if you utilize them in the correct way.
Right.
That's all
right.
I wanted to say.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. We have another caller. Caller, go. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
I have a suggestion. I don't know if it's a practical one, but about contact tracing. I was reading an article about New Zealand. They have a phone app that you can take the business name with your phone when you go into the business, And that way, if there's contact tracing that needs to be done, you have a record of when and which business you went into. I was wondering about if for the tribal businesses, for instance, the store, the mini mart, or whatever, whether it would be possible for people to sign in so that you kept a record of who had gone in and out when. And then if it turned out there needed to be contact tracing, you'd know who you needed to contact. If somebody tested positive at that site, you would know when and who should be contacted. I don't know if that's practical, but I was just thinking about it.
That's very good, and that's exactly the kind of information from the public that we should be getting here on the line of people thinking of ways to help us. We need help, and that's a very good suggestion. I've noticed both the ladies were writing that down. I'm sure they'll follow up on that.
Yes, we'll pass that on to Marilyn, and in addition to that, we will be reaching out to IHS today to bring in additional staff with and help for Marilyn in the contact tracing area, because that was expressed by Dr. Archie that it's immediate. And one of the things that was expressed also by Dr. Archie is because there are several individuals that we need to fulfill that team over there right now, it may be something that the council needs to consider to do the full shutdown for a few days. We've discussed this, just to keep everybody in place for a few days until the additional resources of being able to handle more tests, to get more tests from county. And I'm not saying this to scare you, because I don't want to live through that situation either, just like I don't want to see the National Guard or anybody coming to police our people. I want us to be able to trust in each other that we're going to do the right thing. But I just want people to be aware that there are situations that are trying to be put in place right now to beef up and gear up, which is going to take a couple days. But it may mean standing still for a couple days so that the police can control the ones who keep moving through the night and socializing.
All right. We don't have another caller yet. No calls. So
the previous caller is still on.
Oh, are you still on the air?
I don't have any more questions, so I'll hang up.
Okay, thank you for calling. That was good information. So, do we have anything else we want to share?
Just on the operational side, we're, like I said earlier, we're working to bring in additional support staff from IHS and CDC. We're also working to get additional help assist Kamau get the additional testing equipment. We're working on food supply storage and supply. So right now we're providing 3 meals a day to our community members who are isolated or quarantined in the motel. We're also today have figured out how to tailor those meals for our diabetic community members who are in isolation and quarantine. We're also moving forward with plans to secure larger quantities of food for, 3 months or so. So my challenge today is to find storage for all of that. We're trying to start to build a contact tracing team. We're also working out the protocol and procedure for the hotlines, which are becoming much more busy every day, with more people entering quarantine and isolation. That hotline for resources is becoming much more of an urgent need, necessity. So we are also working, we're supposed to get a truckload of food boxes delivered tomorrow. We're working on a plan to get those food boxes distributed out to the community as early as possible. That will be a community-wide. So right now we're providing meals and food to our isolated and quarantined families, but not to the general public. But we do hope if we do a larger shutdown, we will have a food box giveaway. So there's all these things that are waiting in the wings, and I know the community really feels like nothing's happening, but there is a lot happening behind the scenes, and you will see it.
Right, and we're not going to create a situation or not have a plan to where we leave you without food and do an immediate shutdown with no store not be able to provide that food before it happens. I mean, there will be a plan in place if it does in fact have to. I mean, we can't create a more dangerous situation. But my most important message would be, you know, I don't know if tomorrow one person's going to get it or we're all going to get it, okay? Because I can't read the future. But I can tell you, if you trust in this team to provide the resources you need, if you are in quarantine or you're isolated, you know, we can get through this as a community because we have the ability to buy what you need. So if you call us, you know, we're even taking money out of our own pockets to get people cigarettes because we want them to stay home. But that's how dedicated we are. It's like, what do they need? Okay, they need drugs. Even it's like, I'll figure it out because we need to keep people still. And so we're taking these extra measures that are not ordinary. It's a situation that's never happened in the world before. So trust in us to help you because you can call us and tell us what you need to maintain. I mean, I'm not here to talk about your situation because I may be in that situation tomorrow and I told my team, if I get it, you better damn well take care of me because I'm gonna call you. And so I encourage people to use our resources because we are there for you and we want to help whatever it is, you know, alleviate the hardship of this.
Okay, we have one more call. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, how many cases do we need a COVID-19 in the valley before we go on full lockdown again? Put up checkpoints.
Good question.
Yeah, that's being analyzed, I guess, with the team now. That's something that I had been pressing for some time as far as what happens when we reach a certain amount. You know, I don't think the National Guard is really an answer. That's another problem there that we probably shouldn't even discuss here at this time. We'll certainly be working on that, right? Greg, did you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, we're considering that every day, and we're weighing that balance of where we pull that trigger. And I mean, I would like to ask the caller, I mean, in their mind, because I really don't have that information from the public. What is the public wanting to see as far as numbers? I mean, is it going to take, you know, deaths? Is it going to, what is it going to take to just shut everything down or to give up all of your rights to roam freely in the community? Those are some, I think that's a weigh-in that we need to hear from the public. When I say we, I mean the incident management team and the decision makers like the council.
What did you say, caller?
What's the number of cases?
Active is 24.
It's 24 cases right now.
Okay, so how many do we need to go on full shutdown?
That's what we're talking about.
It's a current situation we're dealing with right now. We have structured, reached out to Leona as far as, and the county as far as issuing orders for individuals to stay home. So that movement is in place. You know, the county is currently arresting people who are in violation. That's Bob's call. He's the leader on our safety and on our safety side. So, you know, those conversations are happening as we speak, and we're working closely with the doctors who are managing the COVID incident from the back of the building. And it is the recommendation that we stand still for a few days from the doctor so we can put measures in place over there and beef up staff so we can make sure we're guaranteed to stop the spread.
Yeah. We have another caller. I'll go ahead and take that call. Caller, you're on the air.
Can I take a survey?
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay, can I take a survey for anyone that wants to shut everything down?
She wants to take a survey on what number of people?
Of course.
Yeah.
You can post it on your social media and Caller 8100 number.
I think she's saying she votes to shut everything down. That's what I think she's saying. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Oh,
well, thank you for that input. We have to put things in place. Like, what if we do have a shutdown, we still have to probably maintain the store to still be open, maybe curbside, whatever, stuff like that. So there's a preparation being put together right now, as far as I think. We don't have a plan for that right now, a solid plan, but we are working on that. And so if it comes to shutting down the valley, I'm sure we'll have everything ready to go. And if it takes a week from now, or even a few days, if we get really a lot of cases all of a sudden, we definitely will shut down the reservation. So, is there anything else you guys want to add?
Yeah, I like to throw this out there. So, getting employees assigned by the tribe, getting employees assigned through Kamau, getting volunteers, that all navigates some already established policies and procedures. And so in order to get the response we need for this emergency, you know, the executive decisions that you made, along with a lot of the council that were present, those were 100% necessary to get us to where we can start responding and serving the community. And so we still have some navigating to do through that, because we need more people on this team, and we need them in key positions. And it's difficult when the policies that are in place aren't geared for this type of emergency. Right. And so one of the things, you know, your challenge and law enforcement and the judge and everybody, that their challenge is to be able to navigate those policies so that we can be effective on the ground. Right now, we're really trying to drag these policies along into this new emergency situation, and it's making it more difficult to respond to the community. So I just want to throw that out there, because I need support. When I need somebody to be hired, or when I need somebody to come on as a volunteer even, because there's insurance issues and stuff like that, we need to have a system developed through the court or through the council where these policies are, there's exemptions for this pandemic, is what I'm trying to say.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you so much, Greg, because I really wanted to hit on that. It's key, because I have a line of people who are waiting to come on and help with this team, and I cannot get through the red tape of how to make that happen. And I can't have these kind of hurdles. So that's where I need this
well,
worked
this
out.
Well, this is what I've touched on earlier. You know, I don't want to be any kind of a dictator or anything like that. But this is a different situation we have. We have a very dangerous situation that people will probably die if we don't do the right things. So if I go ahead and make so-called executive decisions, not even consulting the council, I'm going to do that if it needs to be done. So I was already tried to be recalled, and that was fell on its face. I don't think they can do that for another year. But anyway, just remember, if you hear that things about me overstepping my boundaries as far as the chairman, well, it might have to be done. It might have to be done. I just want to tell you that. So with that, I think we can wrap this program up, and I thank you for listening.